Here we go. The Viking season begins in just 52 minutes. The 2024-2025 season. Vikings in New York today taking on the Giants. Our good buddy Matthew Collar is with us now, joining us live from, I believe it's New Jersey, isn't it, Matthew? I knew it at the Meadowlands, as the Meadowlands. It's in Jersey, right? It's not actually in the city.
It's Jersey.
That is correct. This is East Rutherford, New Jersey, at MetLife Stadium. Thank you. Yes, and I was
to stay, because it's a vacation destination. Let me tell you.
I am in a long strip of hotels outside of the Newark Airport, is where I'm staying. So, you know, it's okay. This is what we call a business trip, my friend. This is a business trip. I'm here for football. I'm not here to party.
So looking at predictions, I feel like it's kind of split here between both the Giants and the Vikings. It kind of comes down for me, which quarterback do you think has more to work with here? But both of them have a lot to prove. Daniel Jones, obviously, in New York, who lost Saquon Barkley, and Sam Darnold here in Minnesota. How much of this game falls, in your mind, on both of their shoulders for their team's success?
Yeah, I think the thing about Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones that is similar is that they're both kind of carrying the weight of their futures into the season, and there's 17 games to be played, and you kind of wonder which one of these guys will feel like they need to prove everything today and which one feels more pressure, because, you know, Daniel Jones got the big contract but has not lived up to it so far, and Sam Darnold is really on his last legs here. And I spent the entire offseason talking to everyone that I could about Sam Darnold, and everybody comes back to the same conclusion, which is maybe it'll work out, because the fact that NFL teams keep giving Sam Darnold chances tells you something about how he operates, right? How he handles himself behind the scenes, the arm talent that he has. And then when we see him throughout training camp, you go, okay, you know what? I could see this. I could see this working, especially because he has that number 18 guy that I've heard is pretty good. And that, you know, weighs the odds in his favor as well. But then you keep going back to, it hasn't worked before, but that doesn't mean it will never work. The guy's not 40 years old. He's 27. And with Daniel Jones, I mean, this is a guy who won a playoff game not that long ago. So I think a lot of people look at him like, well, you should just steamroll Daniel Jones. But I don't think it's that simple either. They've added a lot as far as wide receivers around him, starting with Malik Nabers, but also Jalin Hyatt last year, Wandale Robinson a couple of years ago. So they actually do have some skill players around. I mean, so I actually think there's a decent chance that we see both quarterbacks maybe outperform what the expectations are for this game. But definitely both guys coming in feeling like this is their big shot.
You know, Matt, it's interesting, and I love the fact that you're out there and enjoying that unbelievable American Dream Ball that's right across the street from the stadium. It's just beautiful. I'm sure you're having a ball. But so as far as the game itself, Daniel Jones, his biggest issue is the interceptions. He just seems to be a guy he's got everything. He looks great, but the amount of interceptions that he's thrown has been ridiculous. He's thrown 40 in a very short year or career so far. I think if he doesn't do that, if he doesn't turn over the ball, they have a pretty good opportunity here. And I look at Sam Darnold, he's got, if he can't do it with Jefferson, Addison, and Naylor, I'm not sure where he's going to ever have success. But
right.
Of the two quarterbacks, the one thing that stands out for me, Daniel Jones, for the people who don't know this, he's big. He can run. The guy averages, like, I think it's somewhere, I don't know, 5 or 6 yards a carry. And mm-hmm. and people don't realize that he has a lot of athleticism to be able to do that. That, I think, is where our defense has to step up today. Do you agree that if the defense can contain him, we've got the game won, in my opinion. But if they allow him to run, we have a real problem on our hands.
Oh, I 100% agree. And I think that's exactly how the Giants were able to beat the Vikings in the 2022 playoffs, which, of course, Ed Donatell was the defensive coordinator, so it was a little different. But he really effectively used his legs. And this is something I've wondered about with Daniel Jones, because since that game, he's had quite a few injury issues. Is he going to be the same as far as aggressiveness when it comes to, you know, scrambling and taking off and trying to make plays with his legs? Or is he going to be a little more timid and want to stay in the pocket because he has been so banged up? And for the Vikings, I think even just the upgrade over the last couple of years to what they have as far as pass rush goes, of course they don't have Danielle Hunter anymore, but they have many more people who are good at rushing the passer. So how do you get after him? And that's really the difference for both of these quarterbacks is, you know, we could talk about them all day and their pasts and their histories, but both have something in common, which is if you get some pressure on them, it's going to be a problem. It's a problem for any quarterback, but the good quarterbacks find ways to handle it. These two, for their careers, have not found ways to handle it very effectively. So which one of them can create it? And on the offensive side for the Vikings, they need to slow down Dexter Lawrence. It's really that simple. I mean, if that guy wrecks the game, then Sam Darnold's not going to have much of a shot. So I think a lot of this does come down to how the defensive lines perform today.
Matthew Coller joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline from New Jersey, getting ready for the Vikings, who kick things off here at noon today. I'm real interested to watch Aaron Jones today. Obviously, we've seen him for years in Green Bay. What have you seen or been able to glean that his role is going to kind of be? I mean, is this offense, is it going to live and die and start with the run, or do you feel like they'll pass out of it? How is he going to fit in terms of this offensive puzzle?
You know, I think that when you start thinking about how you want it to play out, it always starts with Aaron Jones, right? If you're trying to say, how can we give the quarterback the best opportunity to hit some deep shots but not have to do everything, then it starts with the running game. And if you can run effectively with Aaron Jones, then you can work off the play action with Sam Darnold. You can limit how many passes he has to throw. I had this stat in an article that when Darnold in his career has had to throw 35 or more passes, he's 2-14. So that's not necessarily something you want to do. And you would think, well, maybe it's that way for everybody, but I think Kirk had a much, much better record when he was asked to throw a lot of passes. So you have to play differently. You have to change, I think, the mindset. My question is, can Kevin O'Connell do that? Is it really the running back's fault over the last couple of years that they haven't run, or is Kevin O'Connell just always going to be so pass-first heavy that that's what they're going to do? And as far as Aaron Jones, he's such an interesting guy to talk to, just such a bright guy and thoughtful guy. And he was telling us about how when he arrived here, he got together with the training staff and came up with a very specific plan, how many reps he was going to take in practice, how he was going to stretch before and after. And they are paying very close attention to every injury that he's had in the past and how to try to do their best to prevent it. So they have gone through this entire offseason with a plan to try to keep him healthy. And I think if you're Kevin O'Connell, you'd like him out there. It's more of a 70-30 split. I think he's a lot better of a running back overall than Ty Chandler. But if he can't stay healthy or gets banged up, then of course we're going to see a lot of Ty Chandler. But I think they want to lean very heavily in this offense on Aaron Jones.
You know, the one thing that still bothers me, and I'm the one guy who brings this up, nobody else likes to talk about it. We love B-Flo. We think his defense is great. He's a 3-4 guy. I still have yet to see a good 3-4 defense in the NFL. So with that as a backdrop, they've got a nice running back in Devin Singletary. So what do you think about that? And because of the defense that we decide to run with, which is a 3-4, which nobody in the top 12 runs that. But that being all said, I think that Singletary is a heck of a running back. I really do. I've watched him at Buffalo, was impressed. He had one season just last year at Houston with a couple of our guys on the defensive side, so they know each other. What do you think about him? Where does he stand? I know they lost Barkley, obviously, and now all of a sudden they bring in Singletary. I don't think they've really lost anything. As a matter of fact, they've probably got a little bit more speed now.
Yeah, well, first of all, when I was growing up, Pete, Wade Phillips had the 3-4 in Buffalo, and they had Bruce Smith and Ted Washington.
Gosh, those were good teams.
That was a good defense.
Those were great teams.
Dome Patrol was 3-4. Come on, Pete. You got to give the 3-4 some credit. But I think to answer both sides of that, I mean, one is I think the Flores defense is much more of a hybrid of that. I don't think anyone really plays the true 3-4. So you're going to see them in a lot of nickel, and I think they want to have the big nickel with Metellus out there. But Singletary is a good player. I agree with you that some guys, for some reason, kind of fly under the radar at that position because maybe the fantasy element, or maybe it's just that everyone thinks that running backs don't matter anymore. But I think that Singletary has proven to be a good player for them. And it all kind of ties back in to both quarterbacks need the same thing. They need their running games to play off of, because if Daniel Jones can play off of Devin Singletary, if he can check the ball down, if he can have somebody that's setting him up for second down and short and things like that, then I think he can be fairly effective. But I tend to agree with you that even though Saquon was a pretty special player and still is, as we saw the other night, I don't think that the downgrade is quite as massive as their contracts would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I want to ask you really quickly about this since we have you. I know you've heard by now Dak Prescott signs a four-year, $240 million contract extension ahead of the opener today. We were talking a little bit of it off air. I know he's coming off, I think it's his best or one of his best seasons, but he is 31. So it seemed like a bit of a head scratcher for me. Where do you land on this?
I think that the way that they handled it overall, the longer you wait, the more expensive it gets. I think the Vikings found that out with even Justin Jefferson, where maybe they should have pumped it up a couple more million and got the deal done a little faster. And that's definitely the case for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, if they had just done the deal at the same time that Trevor Lawrence and other quarterbacks, Tua, were getting their deals done, then they probably would have paid less. At the same time, when you have a quarterback who can operate a top five offense, I mean, look at the backup quarterbacks in the league. Even look at the game we're talking about right now. Like the drop off from a top 10 to 12 quarterback, and this is why Kirk Cousins always gets paid, right, is enormous. So I think that they made a mistake in the way that they handled it. It's going to hurt them long term. But also, my mind went immediately to J.J. McCarthy. He's going to make like $5 million. And Dak Prescott's going to make 60. I mean, the advantage just keeps growing and growing for the Vikings to have a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Great point. All right, enjoy New Jersey today. Where do you see this one, by the way, before we let you go? What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be a hilarious shootout, and we're all going to be like, what?
800 yards of total passing offense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Matt. Enjoy the game today. Thanks so much, as always.
Thanks, Matt.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
See you.
Matthew Collar joining us. It sounds like, what is this? It's just so crazy it might work. I think that's how this one is going to go today. Again, a noon game today from the Meadowlands, Vikings, and the New York Football Giants. Coming up next, a little bit more in NFL before we get out of this today. Two things that may actually happen next year. Tom Brady as a owner and Bill Belichick coming back as a coach. I want to find out, which do you think is going to happen more, and which do you think will have more success? That's coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Two interesting notes as we're now fully into the 2024-25 NFL season. It sounds like the deal is almost done to make Tom Brady will be an owner. I don't think he's the majority, or it's close to the majority.
No, he's not majority.
Not even close.
He's not majority, but he's going to be a minority. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And apparently Bill Belichick is interested in coaching again in 2025. I wonder if you're putting your money on one of those two, if they're stocks and you're trying to figure out which one will succeed more next year, where are you putting your money, Mr. Investment? Where are we going?
Man, well, as far as it actually happening, is that what you're saying?
I think it's going to happen. But if it happens, if both things happen, which is more successful? You think Tom Brady and
Tom Brady all day long. Yeah, that investment has been a great investment, the NFL. I think it continues to be. At some point, I don't know when this will happen, but at some point, I think we will start reaching somewhere closer to a peak, maybe get a little bit of a move to the downside for the ownership side of these teams. But that being said, they're going around the globe for a reason. There's a reason why those crazies in the NFL, the commissioner and all those, sent them to Brazil on Friday. Because let's be honest, that was not something the players wanted anything to do with. There was a lot of pushback about that whole thing. And there was a little bit of, I'd say, controversial, because they felt like they were put in a spot where they're not supposed to leave. They shouldn't have their phones if they're outside walking and all those kinds of things. But that being said, they've gone all over the world, and it's gotten the NFL that much more popular. And with that, obviously, you get everything that comes along with that, whether that's TV or products or whatever. So I think these teams still have room to go to the upside.
I wonder here, and there's two things, that there's one of each of things that makes me wonder how well these are going to happen. First of all, Bill Belichick is 72 years old. I mean, and I know that he said, Adam Schefter tweeted, he's not going to take just any job. He's going to look for the right job, whatever that may be. And I don't know what job that is. Also, Bill Belichick is a personality that's very difficult to work with. there are not, and I don't know how many owners would be willing to deal with everything else that comes with Bill Belichick. Now, they'll deal with it if he wins.
Yeah.
But 72 years old, I mean, especially like – Kevin O'Connell's, 39? I mean, the coaching, the coaches are getting younger because younger coaches, they work well with the younger players. I mean, that's just the way it is. The coaching now is not like it used to be. You cannot coach today's modern player in the same way. On the flip side of that, there are so many, and I don't know if you knew this, there's so many rules and regulations that Tom Brady is going to have to adhere to be both a broadcaster and an owner. He can't go into other teams' facilities. So when they do production meetings, they're going to have to do them off-site. He cannot criticize officials because he could get fined for that. I don't know how this marriage of owner and broadcaster can work together and have him be as effective as he wants to be, because people want to know what Tom Brady thinks. They want to know. So is he really going to be able to sit on his hands and not say, I really disagree with that call? Mm-hmm. I mean, and then what constitutes as going after the refs, so to speak? I mean, this is someone who they've waited for years to get behind the mic. Everybody's been waiting to hear how Tom Brady does. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious as to how that marriage is going to work.
I've said, once this started coming out that this was actually going to happen and he was going to be a partial owner and he was going to have all of these restrictions put on him, I said he's not making it through the year. I don't think that he is broadcasting NFL games throughout this entire year. I just don't think it works. I don't think he can do it. He can't be in any of the locker rooms. He can't talk to players. So much of that is massively important, especially for the analyst role. I do not see how it's going to work.
Well, I'll say this, and you guys know this. You probably know all the stats. We've all talked about it, but it's funny that these two names are so intertwined with every subject we bring up practically. But when you look at this and you look at Belichick, by the way, he's not as old as you guys think. He's got a girlfriend who's 23 years old, so he feels more youthful. Jordan Hudson. But anyway.
Actually, I think he's probably more tired, but go ahead. Yeah.
But he... With Tom Brady, 76% of the games they won. Without him, he's won 44% of the games. So it shows you just how important Tom Brady was to the Belichick legacy, I think. So from that perspective, does he probably want to coach still? Sure. A lot of these guys want to do that. Mac Brown, North Carolina, is old enough now. This will be his last year, I'll tell you that right now, with North Carolina. He's just... like you guys are saying, it's how do they deal with a lot of the things. I think for Tom Brady, though, if his ego is there, he will not do the ownership part of things because he wants to be out there in front of the TV. Otherwise, the investment side of it is killer for him. I think the reality is if he gets somewhere close to a 10% stake of the Raiders, that's a number that goes up pretty quick. And believe it or not, there's liquidity there because there's enough billionaires in this world to want at least a piece if they can't own the whole thing. that I think that those values, as they go up, I think it would be a great investment for Tom. But I think he wants to be in front of the camera and show people what Tom Brady thinks, how he views things from his perspective. And I think he's worth a lot of money for that. We already know some of the numbers. So from that perspective, I think the ego is there that he's got to be on TV.
Pete, I'm interested.
That's a great point.
That is a really good point. And Pete, I'm interested in your perspective on this. Is there any reality or possibility where team valuations go down ever? Is that even possible to happen, or is it just a money printing machine?
It is a money printing machine. It has been every year. We all know it, that the free agency and everything, we all hear about, well, the salary caps and everything. They all know it's going to jump probably anywhere between 8 and 10 or 12%, right? I mean, it's just been the trend. At some point, you do have to think maybe that does slow down, or maybe even gets a hiccup and pulls back a little bit. But again, that's why they're going so hard for Europe, and they're trying to go to Asia, they're trying to go to Africa, they're trying to go everywhere. Obviously, this South American trip to Brazil, if those actually can give them enough, and so far they have, there will be teams playing in certain parts outside of the United States. I did it in the World Football League, so I know it can be done. It's not as bad as everybody keeps saying it is as far as travel. It just has to be organized the right way and give people the opportunity to be able to have teams that are going all the way to Europe and then come back. Maybe they come halfway back and they stop somewhere else in the U.S. for a game, then finally come home. There's a lot of ways to do that. But it's going to be a puzzle, and it's going to be a very difficult puzzle to piece together.
If we're still on the air in September of 2034, will we be talking about a team playing on Mars? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Dude, save that clip, Charlie, if we're all still around.
That's
then.
10 years.
10 years. 10 years. We're going to Mars and we're going to play football on it. There's my book prediction.
Elon Musk will own that team.
Well, that was Mike. He's going to get them there. Him and Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos. They'll all own teams in different sections of Mars. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back. The Twins. Well, it's not been the best couple weeks for the Twins. And last night, a very pivotal decision that we'll talk about and analyze. That's coming up next. Kendrick Lamar, right?
You got it.
Hey, all right. Just announced he's going to be the Super Bowl halftime show. Charlie, are you a big Kendrick Lamar guy?
I mean, I'm not a big hip-hop fan, but I do like Kendrick Lamar. I think he's made a lot of interesting albums.
And how excited are you that he is a part of that? He will be the halftime show. He's been a part of it before. He will be the halftime
show. Yeah, I think he'll be able to put on a good performance. I'm sure he'll bring out guests, and that's always fun. I'm pretty lenient about most halftime performances, to be honest with you. I think most of them are pretty good. So I think he'll put on a nice show.
Should be exciting. The Minnesota Twins have had a really rough couple weeks, gentlemen.
Yeah.
which, to be fair, and I want to use this moment to say this. Charlie, months ago, you said the team we should really be worrying about is the Kansas City Royals. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. Twins sitting third in the Central. They're still in the wild card, but not by much. Last night in the Twins' loss to the Royals, in which they had a pretty nice lead, Bailey Ober gets pulled in the seventh. And this goes back to the whole eye test versus analytics argument, guys. Mm-hmm. He pitched very well through the seven innings that he was pitching. He comes off. And then Griffin Jacks and, well, excuse me, it was Duran first and then Griffin Jacks. I'm very, very torn about how I feel about this decision. Immediately, my first reaction was, how could you do this? It's stupid. He's doing just fine. But then I thought a little more about it. So I'm curious as to where you are. Charlie, I want to start with you. You're a huge baseball guy.
Huge.
Where are you on this right now? Was this a good decision or a bad one?
I'm kind of with you that I've gone a little back and forth on it. My initial reaction is I would have left him in. He was at 85 pitches. We've seen Twins pitchers go above and beyond that this year. We've seen Bailey Ober go above and beyond that this year. The hiccup I have and why I'm actually not even going to go ahead and try and get inside the brains of the decision makers, because I'm not convinced this was an analytics thing. I'm not at all convinced it was an analytics thing. I think that part of what's playing into the formula right now is the injuries that have been happening and where we're standing right now in the playoff race. Essentially, the Twins, it would be very, very tough at this point for the Twins to miss the playoffs. That doesn't mean they can't. That doesn't mean they can't. They absolutely still can. And so, yes, you're going to play to win games. But the way that things have shaped up in September at this point, it looks pretty dang likely they're going to be in the playoffs and they're not going to win the Central. So you have those two things to keep in mind. And then you have all of the injuries to the pitching staff. So what are you going to do in the postseason with your pitchers? Your number one guy, your number one and two guy, you got Pablo Lopez and you've got Bailey Ober, and you don't have much after that. So you're saying, man, I really want to keep these guys sharp. I am worried about them getting injured at all. So I am going to play the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go to our two best bullpen arms and trust that they can save a two-run game. I'm going to say, these are the guys. That's what you're paid to do. You've been good for most of the year. Durant's had a tough year, but you're our two top guys. I trust you to do that, and I don't want Bailey Ober to be injured. Having said all of that, I still leave Bailey Ober in that game. I still would like him to pitch out the eighth inning and then have Jax come in for the ninth. But I understand what happened, and I understand where they were coming from.
I'll tell you, and I went to the same road, because my initial thought was you got to leave him in there. But you're right. The Twins are more than likely going to make the postseason. And Bailey Ober's already pitched 155 innings. You know, this is the time of year now, the first week in September, where you got to start thinking about that. And not only has he pitched 155 innings, Pablo Lopez has pitched 162. And then the next on the list is Joe Ryan. He's done. So you're right. There comes a point where you have to say, and I actually think it is, I know you say it's not necessarily analytics, but there does come a point, and there's a portion of what Rocco has to do, and why I wasn't, even with the loss, why I'm not necessarily against it is because there is very, at this point, it's going to be pretty hard for them to move from where they are, which is a wild card team. And the only way to get out of that is to have three solid and ready starters. And so you do have to start to limit at this point how much a guy's going to pitch. And when your two pitchers, you know, your top pitchers are going 162 and 155 already at this point, that's a lot of innings. And I do think that you have to start to think about, okay, we're going to make the playoffs, but now what? How do we – because if not, and we get to the playoffs, or and Bailey Ober's hurt or isn't as effective because he was worked too much in this final month of the season that wasn't necessarily pivotal to the season, then everyone's going to crush – Rocco Baldelli for that. Why didn't you manage your rotation better than that? You know, so listen, he's damned if he do it and damned if he doesn't. But I think even despite the fact that the way it happened, I still think it was the right call.
You guys are the baseball guys. I always leave it up to you for sure. But I will say this. I remember going into the trade deadline and saying if they want to make a legitimate run, not just get to the playoffs, but maybe make a run, I think you had to do something before the trade deadline. And we didn't. You guys are saying all the reasons why I think we had to make some sort of a move. If you want to have success after, right? Like we get into the playoffs, it's great to get there, but do we want to be the first team out? Probably not, but that might be where we find ourselves. I mean, all you've got to look at this year is we've talked about it, you know, most of the year where this year has been a year about, all right, we've got the bats, we can score some runs. We're pretty consistently scoring a lot of runs. We've got some great hitters. We've had some injuries, sure. But I think that the reality, I'm talking on the bat side of things, but the reality is when you look at where we are, so we lose to Tampa, we give up nine runs. We lose to the Royals, we give up another five. Blue Jays, we gave up 15. That's kind of the way the pitching's been going. It's been slowly sifting lower, and that's why we find ourselves now, we're what, third in the Central? So I think that we missed a window if we were going to try to make a legitimate run because it's going to be really difficult to reach down into our pitchers now. And who do you put in, especially after what you guys were just talking about, which is look at the innings they've already got. And we've still got a little bit of season left in front of us. And what about those arms by the time you get to the postseason?
So I think you got Festa there in the rotation, and you got Varland to move to the bullpen, which they've already talked about. And the issue, Pete, with the trade deadline was unless you're willing to give up Emmanuel Rodriguez or Brooks Lee at the trade deadline, which I'm not willing to do, and the Twins were certainly not willing to do, the best guy you're getting in return is Eric Fetty, who is not making a dent on any postseason mm-hmm. roster. So it was just not going to happen. There just wasn't the ability to make a move at the trade deadline with the way things have shaped out. So you got to make the best of it. I think they'll be okay. A lot of texters texting in saying, you guys think they're going to make the playoffs with this? They're 5 games up on the wild card, and Boston is chasing them, who is also imploding. So, yes, I do. There's less than a month of the season left. There's 5 games up on the wild card spot, and the team chasing them is also not very good. I'm pretty confident they're making the playoffs.
And let's remember, too, as we talk about the deadline, Joe Ryan was still pitching at the deadline. Right, I mean, he was not out yet. Correct. I mean, so that correct, does make a big difference as mm-hmm. to what they're doing, and now looking at second and third. Listen, I'll never just say it's going to happen because anything can happen in sports. But I'll say the thing I always say to you, wonderful people who listen to our show: it's okay to love again. Don't be afraid to get hurt. Even if this is a pretty good chance here. I'm not saying we cross the finish line, but it's okay now. All that being said, we've talked about pitching. I'm really not going to feel super until I know Carlos Correa is back in the lineup for good. I just – this plantar fasciitis injury and the potential of this is really starting to scare me a little bit and make me wonder. Where are you at?
Yeah, it's I mean, but that kind of comes down to you're still needing to win games. You're still positioning yourself for the playoffs. But I do think that at least from the front office's viewpoint, I think from certain viewpoints, they're looking at the situation saying, you know, we have a really good chance of making it right now. Maybe we don't have to push quite as hard as maybe we thought we were going to have to. We're pretty locked in here in this position. Not locked in. They can still not make the playoffs. I know. I'm not saying that it can't happen. But if you're looking at the odds, a lot of odds makers are putting it at 90%+ that they're going to make the playoffs in some way, shape, or form.
And I think the decision last night, to your point, Charlie, says that. It says we feel pretty good about it, so we have to start to prepare for that, right? I mean, that's why you don't let – I know it's just one inning, but that's why you don't let these innings pile up on Bailey Ober. Let him have – the other part of this, too, is the confidence factor. Right, mm-hmm. Bailey Ober leaves that game feeling pretty damn good about what he did last night. I don't know. Can I say they pretty darn good about what he did last night?
I don't know if I'm going with that too, though, because he also leaves the game feeling like he could go more. So I don't know.
Yeah,
about,
he could,
I don't know,
but
I don't
when
know
it comes that. Back at it, all right. Well, okay. Agree to disagree.
Yeah,
I'll be fair. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll run through some predictions here on what's going to happen today in the NFL. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to 830 WCCO. The Vikings open up the season here in just a few minutes in New York. Inactive's out, by the way. Tristan Jackson inactive today. Not a surprise. Dwight McLaughlin, your guy, Dwight McLaughlin, out today. So let's talk about it. We've got a few minutes here. We'll talk about the game in a second. The NFC North has changed a little with Jordan Love going down we'll see how long it is with an MCL. Give me first your prediction for the season for the Vikings. Where do you think there will be in the NFC North come to the end of the season?
Oh, boy, that is really tough because, obviously, the Jordan Love injury is something that
changes it.
I would have had Green Bay above us. I would have had us at the bottom, actually, even below Chicago. Not for any negative reasons. I don't think we're terrible or anything of the kind, but I just like what the Chicago Bears have done. I think that they've put mm-hmm. together a really amazing group of talented players in a short period of time, doing it through free agency and the draft, quarterback, receiver. They've got a lot of different things going on. They may, again, I talk about how deep the NFL is in receivers. Take a look at the Chicago Bears receivers. They aren't that far underneath, I think, the Vikings, if they are even underneath the Vikings right now. And in our whole division, you look at the NFC North specifically, a lot of great receivers. I think that the Vikings will do okay, but I don't see us getting much more than maybe 7 wins or something close to that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I look at Detroit. I think they're pretty damn good. Chicago looks great. Green Bay, different story now, depending on the quarterback situation. it just changed a lot, I think, watching Jordan Love go down.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm right with you, Pete. I don't think you're too down on the Vikings by any means. I mean, the rest of the division's good. I'll give you the whole division. I've got Detroit.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Kendrick Lamar, right?
You got it.
Hey, all right. Just announced he's going to be the Super Bowl halftime show. Charlie, you big? Are you a big Kendrick Lamar guy?
I mean, I'm not a big hip-hop fan, but I do like Kendrick Lamar. I think he's made a lot of interesting albums.
And how excited are you that he is a part of that? He will be the halftime show. He's been a part of it before. He will be the halftime
show. Yeah, I think he'll be able to put on a good performance. I'm sure he'll bring out guests, and that's always fun. I'm pretty lenient about most halftime performances, to be honest with you. I think most of them are pretty good. So I think he'll put on a nice show.
Should be exciting. The Minnesota Twins have had a really rough couple weeks, gentlemen.
Yeah.
which, to be fair, and I want to use this moment to say this. Charlie, months ago, you said the team we should really be worrying about is the Kansas City Royals. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. Twins sitting third in the Central. They're still in the wild card, but not by much. Last night in the Twins' loss to the Royals, in which they had a pretty nice lead, Bailey Ober gets pulled in the seventh. And this goes back to the whole eye test versus analytics argument, guys. Mm-hmm. He pitched very well through the seven innings that he was pitching. He comes off. And then Griffin Jacks and – well, excuse me, it was Duran first and then Griffin Jacks. I'm very, very torn about how I feel about this decision. Immediately, my first reaction was, how could you do this? It's stupid. He's doing just fine. But then I thought a little more about it. So I'm curious as to where you are. Charlie, I want to start with you. You're a huge baseball guy.
Huge.
Where are you on this right now? Was this a good decision or a bad?
I'm kind of with you that I've gone a little back and forth on it. My initial reaction is I would have left him in. He was at 85 pitches. We've seen Twins pitchers go above and beyond that this year. We've seen Bailey Ober go above and beyond that this year. The hiccup I have and why I'm actually not even going to go ahead and try and get inside the brains of the decision makers, because I'm not convinced this was an analytics thing. I'm not at all convinced it was an analytics thing. I think that part of what's playing into the formula right now is the injuries that have been happening and where we're standing right now in the playoff race. Essentially, the Twins, it would be very, very tough at this point for the Twins to miss the playoffs. That doesn't mean they can't. That doesn't mean they can't. They absolutely still can. And so, yes, you're going to play to win games. But the way that things have shaped up in September at this point, it looks pretty dang likely they're going to be in the playoffs and they're not going to win the Central. So you have those two things to keep in mind. And then you have all of the injuries to the pitching staff. So what are you going to do in the postseason with your pitchers? Your number one guy, your number one and two guy, you got Pablo Lopez and you've got Bailey Ober, and you don't have much after that. So you're saying, man, I really want to keep these guys sharp. I am worried about them getting injured at all. So I am going to play the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go to our two best bullpen arms and trust that they can save a two-run game. I'm going to say, these are the guys. That's what you're paid to do. You've been good for most of the year. Duran's had a tough year, but you're our two top guys. I trust you to do that, and I don't want Bailey Ober to be injured. Having said all of that, I still leave Bailey Ober in that game. I still would like him to pitch out the eighth inning and then have Jax come in for the ninth. But I understand what happened, and I understand where they were coming from.
I'll tell you, and I went to the same road, because my initial thought was you got to leave him in there. But you're right. The Twins are more than likely going to make the postseason. And Bailey Ober's already pitched 155 innings. You know, this is the time of year now, the first week in September, where you got to start thinking about that. And not only has he pitched 155 innings, Pablo Lopez has pitched 162. And then the next on the list is Joe Ryan. He's done. So you're right. There comes a point where you have to say, and I actually think it is, I know you say it's not necessarily analytics, but there does come a point, and there's a portion of what Rocco has to do, and why I wasn't, even with the loss, why I'm not necessarily against it is because there is very, at this point, it's going to be pretty hard for them to move from where they are, which is a wild card team. And the only way to get out of that is to have three solid and ready starters. And so you do have to start to limit at this point how much a guy's going to pitch. And when your two pitchers, you know, your top pitchers are going 162 and 155 already at this point, that's a lot of innings. And I do think that you have to start to think about, okay, we're going to make the playoffs, but now what? How do we – because if not, and we get to the playoffs – and Bailey Ober's hurt or isn't as effective because he was worked too much in this final month of the season that wasn't necessarily pivotal to the season, then everyone's going to crush Rocco Baldelli for that. Why didn't you manage your rotation better than that? You know, so listen, he's damned if he do it and damned if he doesn't. But I think even despite the fact that the way it happened, I still think it was the right call.
You guys are the baseball guys. I always leave it up to you for sure. But I will say this. I remember going into the trade deadline and saying if they want to make a legitimate run, not just get to the playoffs, but maybe make a run, I think you had to do something before the trade deadline. And we didn't. You guys are saying all the reasons why I think we had to make some sort of a move. If you want to have success after, right? Like we get into the playoffs. It's great to get there, but do we want to be the first team out? Probably not, but that might be mm-hmm. where we find ourselves. I mean, all you've got to look at this year is we've talked about it, you know, most of the year, where this year has been a year about, all right, we've got the bats, we can score some runs, we're pretty consistently scoring a lot of runs, we've got some great hitters, we've had some injuries, sure, but I think that the reality, I'm talking on the bat side of things, but the reality is when you look at where we are, so we lose to Tampa, we give up nine runs. We lose to the Royals, we give up another five. Blue Jays, we gave up 15. That's kind of the way the pitching's been going. It's been slowly sifting lower, and that's why we find ourselves now, we're, what, third in the Central? So I think that we missed a window if we were going to try to make a legitimate run because it's going to be really difficult to reach down into our pitchers now, and who do you put in, especially after what you guys were just talking about, which is look at the innings they've already got, and we've still got a little bit of season left in front of us. And what about those arms by the time you get to the postseason?
So I think you got Festa there in the rotation, and you got Varland to move to the bullpen, which they've already talked about. And the issue, Pete, with the trade deadline was unless you're willing to give up Emmanuel Rodriguez or Brooks Lee at the trade deadline, which I'm not willing to do, and the Twins were certainly not willing to do. The best guy you're getting in return is Eric Fetty, who is not making a dent on any postseason mm-hmm. roster. So it was just not going to happen. There just wasn't the ability to make a move at the trade deadline with the way things have shaped out. So you got to make the best of it. I think they'll be okay. A lot of texters texting in saying, you guys think they're going to make the playoffs with this? They're five games up on the wild card, and Boston is chasing them, who is also imploding. So, yes, I do. There's less than a month of the season left. There's five games up on the wild card spot, and the team chasing them is also not very good. I'm pretty confident they're making the playoffs.
And let's remember, too, as we talk about the deadline, Joe Ryan was still pitching at the deadline. Right, I mean, he was not out yet. Correct. I mean, so that correct, does make a big difference as mm-hmm. to what they're doing, and now looking at second, third. Listen, I'll never just say it's going to happen because anything can happen in sports. But I'll say the thing I always say to you, wonderful people who listen to our show: it's okay to love again. Don't be afraid to get hurt, even if this is a pretty good chance here. I'm not saying we cross the finish line, but it's okay now. All that being said, we've talked about pitching. I'm really not going to feel super until I know Carlos Correa is back in the lineup for good. I just this plantar fasciitis injury and the potential of this is really starting to scare me a little bit and make me wonder. Where are you at?
Yeah, it's I mean, but that kind of comes down to you're still needing to win games. You're still positioning yourself for the playoffs. But I do think that at least from the front office's viewpoint, I think from certain viewpoints, they're looking at the situation saying, you know, we have a really good chance of making it right now. Maybe we don't have to push quite as hard as maybe we thought we were going to have to. We're pretty locked in here in this position. Not locked in. They can still not make the playoffs. I know. I'm not saying that it can't happen. But if you're looking at the odds, a lot of odds makers are putting it at 90%+ that they're going to make the playoffs in some way, shape, or form.
And I think the decision last night, to your point, Charlie, says that. It says we feel pretty good about it, so we have to start to prepare for that, right? I mean, that's why you don't let – I know it's just one inning, but that's why you don't let these innings pile up on Bailey Ober. Let him have – the other part of this, too, is the confidence factor. Right, Bailey Ober leaves that game feeling pretty damn good about what he did last night. I don't know. Can I say they pretty darn good about what he did last night?
I don't know if I'm going with that too, though, because he also leaves the game feeling like he could go more. So I don't know.
Yeah,
about
he could,
I don't know,
but when it comes
that.
Back at it, all right. Well, okay. Agree to disagree.
Yeah,
I'll be fair. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. We'll run through some predictions here on what's going to happen today in the NFL. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to 830 WCCO. The Vikings open up the season here in just a few minutes in New York. Inactive's out, by the way. Tristan Jackson inactive today. Not a surprise. Dwight McLaughlin. No. Your guy, Dwight McLaughlin, out today. So let's talk about it. We've got a few minutes here. We'll talk about the game in a second. The NFC North has changed a little with Jordan Love going down we'll see how long it is with an MCL. Give me first your prediction for the season for the Vikings. Where do you think there will be in the NFC North comes to the end of the season?
Oh, boy, that is really tough because, obviously, the Jordan Love injury is something that
changes it.
I would have had Green Bay above us. I would have had us at the bottom, actually, even below Chicago. Not for any negative reasons. I don't think we're terrible or anything of the kind, but I just like what the Chicago Bears have done. I think that they've put together a really amazing group of talented players in a short period of time, doing it through free agency and the draft, quarterback, receiver. They've got a lot of different things going on. They may, again, I talk about how deep the NFL is in receivers. Take a look at the Chicago Bears receivers. They aren't that far underneath, I think, the Vikings, if they are even underneath the Vikings right now. And in our whole division, you look at the NFC North specifically, a lot of great receivers. I think that the Vikings will do okay, but I don't see us getting much more than maybe 7 wins or something close to that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I look at Detroit. I think they're pretty damn good. Chicago looks great. Green Bay, different story now, depending on the quarterback situation. It just changed a lot, I think, watching Jordan Love go down.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm right with you, Pete. I don't think you're too down on the Vikings by any means. I mean, the rest of the division's good. I'll give you the whole division. I've got Detroit at 1. I've got Chicago at 2. And I've got the Vikings at 3. I think the Jordan Love injury is going to be a big deal. And I just don't see the upside that the Packers have quite as much as maybe some pieces that the Vikings have. The Packers don't have anybody that's, Justin Jefferson. They certainly don't. I think they're going to struggle if Jordan Love is really out. I mean, you got Malik Willis as the starter for any extended period of time. Oof, that offense may not exactly be humming.
I have the same order as you. I have Detroit, Chicago, Vikes, Packers. However, in an alternate reality, I can be convinced that Sam Darnold has a career year
because
he's never worked with someone like Kevin O'Connell before. And now all of a sudden the Vikings are second North. I still think Detroit wins the North. But in an alternate reality universe, Sam Darnold in this movie that is Sam Darnold's life, this is where it turns around.
Yep.
You're an hour in, and it's just changed, and now all of a sudden the Disney story happens. Darnold is there. But we'll see.
There absolutely is a reality where they can come in second and get a wild card spot into the playoffs. Is that this reality? I don't know if that's this reality, but there
minutes.
Is a reality where that could happen.
Ask me when the game kicks off. Ask me after his first series.
I'm going to make one big prediction right now. If Darnold has a solid game and we win the game and we beat the Giants, the whole world, but specifically Minnesota, will say, you see, that's our guy. And wait another 4 weeks,
and then we might see
something different.
Sports are fun. Yes, overreact. Say he's the greatest. That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, we can retire his draft.
We can retire his jersey right up next to Josh Dobbs.
Right.
Remember
that?
Ring of Honor.
What
he
was
the
passer,
not.
He was the greatest signing ever for the Vikings.
What a fun game that was, though, Pete. I mean, come on,
it was so fun. He was a great story. He was a physicist,
aeronautical engineer,
and here's the guy, you know, him and Kevin O'Connell, and oh my goodness, and then all of a sudden it's over.
Yeah, all right. Hey, I know we only got like a minute. Who's the best team in the AFC? Who's the best team in the NFC? Has anybody got any thoughts on that?
I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, although I can't really be convinced anything different of that. Yeah. For me, the NFC, the Niners. I guess I'll wait because I don't know how good Christian McCaffrey is going to, you know, what he's going to be when he plays, I think he's going to play tomorrow night. Also, he's on my fantasy team, so I really hope that he does. I think the Niners are still the team to beat in the NFC.
How about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs in the AFC until proven otherwise. It's just hard to say anything other than the Chiefs. And NFC's a lot harder. Man, there's really
–
looking at just the list of teams, who else are you going to pick but the Niners? It's got to be the Niners.
So I'm with you guys with the Niners. I love them. I think they've got all the pieces of the puzzle. And I'm going to say this. Baltimore is going to learn from their mistake. Run the ball with that running back, not with the quarterback, and you will have success. And they didn't do that. They got away from it. They could have beaten them, but they didn't because they could have chewed up the clock. They didn't do that. I think Henry is a great running back, and he could lead them to the Super Bowl.
Pete, I'm changing my pick. Detroit Lions out of the NFC.
Oh. I like that.
Ooh. All right. I love it. Hey, everybody, enjoy your first Sunday in the NFL. Have a great week. Gentlemen, I'll see you next Sunday. Let's do it again, okay?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
The Vikings open up the season here in just a few minutes in New York. inactive's out, by the way. Tristan Jackson inactive today. Not a surprise. Dwight McLaughlin. Your guy, Dwight McLaughlin. out today. So let's talk about it. We've got a few minutes here. We'll talk about the game in a second. The NFC North has changed a little with Jordan Love going down we'll see how long it is with an MCL. Give me first your prediction for the season for the Vikings. Where do you think there will be in the NFC North comes to the end of the season?
Oh, boy, that is really tough because, obviously, the Jordan Love injury is something that
changes it.
I would have had Green Bay above us. I would have had us at the bottom, actually, even below Chicago. Not for any negative reasons. I don't think we're terrible or anything of the kind, but I just like what the Chicago Bears have done. I think that they put together a really amazing group of talented players in a short period of time, doing it through free agency and the draft. Quarterback, receiver, they've got a lot of different things going on. They may, again, I talk about how deep the NFL is in receivers. Take a look at the Chicago Bears receivers. They aren't that far underneath, I think, the Vikings, if they are even underneath the Vikings right now. And in our whole division, you look at the NFC North specifically, a lot of great receivers. I think that the Vikings will do okay, but I don't see us getting much more than maybe 7 wins or something close to that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I look at Detroit. I think they're pretty damn good. Chicago looks great. Green Bay, different story now, depending on the quarterback situation. It just changed a lot, I think, watching Jordan Love go down.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm right with you, Pete. I don't think you're too down on the Vikings by any means. I mean, the rest of the division's good. I'll give you the whole division. I've got Detroit at one. I've got Chicago at two, and I've got the Vikings at three. I think the Jordan Love injury is going to be a big deal. I just don't see the upside that the Packers have quite as much as maybe some pieces that the Vikings have. The Packers don't have anybody that's, you know, Justin Jefferson. They certainly don't. I think they're going to struggle if Jordan Love is really out. I mean, you got Malik Willis as the starter for any extended period of time. Oof, that offense may not exactly be humming.
I have the same order as you. I have Detroit, Chicago, Vikes, Packers. However, in an alternate reality, I can be convinced that Sam Darnold has a career year
because
he's never worked with someone like Kevin O'Connell before, and now all of a sudden the Vikings are second North. I still think Detroit wins the North. But in an alternate reality universe, Sam Darnold in this movie that is Sam Darnold's life, this is where it turns around.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You're an hour in, and it's just changed, and now all of a sudden the Disney story happens. Darnold is there. But we'll see.
There absolutely is a reality where they can come in second and get a wild card spot into the playoffs. Is that this reality? I don't know if that's this
Ask
reality,
me in
but
10
there
minutes.
Is a reality where that could happen.
Ask me when the game kicks off. And ask me after his first series.
I'm going to make one big prediction right now. If Darnold has a solid game and we win the game and we beat the Giants, the whole world, but specifically Minnesota, will say, you see, that's our guy. And wait another 4 weeks
we
might see something different.
Sports are fun. Yes. Overreact. Say he's the greatest. That's what we're supposed to do.
Well, we can retire his draft.
We can retire his jersey right up next to Josh Dobbs.
Right.
Remember
that?
Ring of Honor.
He was the greatest signing ever for the Vikings.
What an art
what
for
a
that.
Fun game that was, though, Pete. I mean, come on,
it really
that
was.
Atlanta
it was.
Game, that
no,
was so
was.
Fun.
He was a great story. He was a physicist, aeronautical engineer, and here's the guy, you know, him and Kevin O'Connell, and oh my goodness, and then all of a sudden it's over.
Yeah, all right. Over. Hey, I know we only got like a minute. Who's the best team in the AFC? Who's the best team in the NFC? Does anybody got any thoughts on that?
I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, although I can't really be convinced anything different of that. Yeah. For me, the NFC, the Niners. I guess I'll wait because I don't know how good Christian McCaffrey is gonna, you know, what he's gonna be when he plays. I think he's gonna play tomorrow night. Also, he's on my fantasy team, so I really hope that he does. I think the Niners are still the team to beat in the NFC.
How about you, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs in the AFC until proven otherwise. It's just hard to say anything other than the Chiefs. And NFC's a lot harder. Man, there's really
–
looking at just the list of teams, who else are you going to pick but the Niners? It's got to be the Niners.
So I'm with you guys with the Niners. I love them. I think they've got all the pieces of the puzzle. And I'm going to say this. Baltimore is going to learn from their mistake. Run the ball with that running back, not with the quarterback, and you will have success. And they didn't do that. They got away from it. They could have beaten them, but they didn't because they could have chewed up the clock. They didn't do that. I think Henry is a great running back, and he could lead them to the Super Bowl.
Pete, I'm changing my pick. Detroit Lions out of the NFC.
Oh, I like that.
All right. I love it. Hey, everybody, enjoy your first Sunday in the NFL. Have a great week. Gentlemen, I'll see you next Sunday. Let's do it again, okay?
Let's do it.